Welcome to our adult Bible study for February the 2nd, 2019, at Good Shepherd in Collinsville, Illinois. This is a summary of that class. We have a video, audio version of it, and you're also welcome to go to our website if you'd like to get a copy of the handout. We're going through a series on evangelism, and we're drawing a lot of resources from this evangelism program published by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Everyone is Witness. You can go to Concordia Publishing House's website to find out more about that program. We also have some books available here if you're interested. Last week in our first class, we focused on the way God witnesses to us through His called people and the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith and salvation. But witnessing never stops there. He also continues to witness through us to others as the work of salvation continues throughout God's kingdom. And a witness is simply someone who testifies to the truth. Our outline for our classes last week, what is a witness and why is it important? Today we're going to look at obstacles, pitfalls to witnessing. Many of these things we impose upon ourselves, but there are ways to avoid them and to work around them. Next week we'll look at really the heart and core of this program called the Lassie Approach to Witnessing. And then this program has some nice video modules. For example, responding to scientism, to a de-churched adult, or, for example, specific situations like Muslims. And we'll be looking at some of those as well. I'd like to begin with some encouraging words from a guy by the name of Dr. C.F.W. Walther. No relation to me, Pastor Walther, but I guess we like to say in our family we're certainly related by baptism, and I greatly admire this man's ministry. He was a young man who helped lead 700 Lutherans from Germany in the 1800s to the United States. They left because of religious persecution. They were being forced to believe things and to say things or not say certain things. They wanted a country where they could worship and confess their faith according to their conscience. 1842, he wrote a very interesting sermon which he titled Bringing Souls to Christ, Every Christian's Desire and Duty. So let me read a few paragraphs here. If we have a friend with whom we associate, then let us consider God has brought me together with this person so that I may either bring him to Christ or keep him close to Christ. If we come to a group of people, let us say, God has called me here so that as a priest may help build up the others and be a blessing to these people. Certainly nothing happens by chance. Therefore, whenever we are brought together with the children of this world, we should ask ourselves, can I perhaps be of some help to their souls? We should certainly, of course, not toss holy things before dogs, as God's word says. This means that we should not force the gospel on anyone who despises or mocks it. Rather, when we have an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, or when we can stand up for the honor of Christ, we should not allow fear of the world or the desire of the world's things to deter us from courageously witnessing to the truth. Oh, what joy there will be when many people will gather together with us in eternity and say, Brother, sister, you saved my soul. I came to you and you spoke to me. You pointed out my errors. You comforted me. You showed me the way to Christ. And now look, through your words, in a way that could not be seen, Christ himself spoke into the ear of my spirit, the word Ephatha, be opened. From that time onward, I was a Christian, and I am eternally blessed. I have a summary of this sermon on our webpage for this Bible class, and you may want to take a look at that at some other time. Let's begin with the first obstacle in this particular lesson, and that's our fear of being incorrect. And this might be something that particularly affects Lutherans because we are concerned about teaching the Word of God and its truth and purity. We don't like being loose and fast and loose with the gospel. And because we focus on that a lot, it might tempt us to think, well, I better not say anything because I might not say it in quite the right way. Well, there's some ways to overcome that particular temptation. And in Psalm 8, God's word says, out of the mouth of babies and infants, God has ordained praise. Jesus referred to this verse on Palm Sunday when he came to Jerusalem and the children were crying out that Jesus is the Son of David. Some people didn't believe that. They tried to suppress it. But Jesus welcomed that confession. It was a simple confession. It was what they knew. And that's what our witnessing is all about. We don't have to witness to everything about the Bible. We don't have to be theologians to witness. just say what we know to be true. And if there's some parts that are a little unclear, we're still learning, just leave that for someone else. Our job is simply to tell people what we know and what we can be assured of. Even if it's simple, it's okay. 1 Corinthians 1, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God does this. He chooses the things that that the world doesn't think very highly of, because salvation is always through His Word and the work of His Holy Spirit, and the power and strength and everything is in Him. So what we need to concentrate on is simply sharing the Word of God as we know it, and we'll just keep it simple based on what we know. A real good way to think about this is simply think about the Apostles' Creed, this little summary of the Christian faith. You can tell people you believe in God the Father and the Creator and creation of this world. You can tell them about His Son, Jesus, our Savior. And you can tell them about the Holy Spirit, who brings us faith, who brings us the Word of God, who builds up the church. Just focus on the Apostles' Creed. If you can't think of anything else, that's a nice little outline for a witness. Another problem we run into is this reluctance we have because we think, you know, people might think we're weird. And there's two facets to this problem. One is there are people that, frankly, don't witness in a very good way. And the world often perceives Christians because a few people like this maybe give a bad example. I remember as a boy when I was in Michigan, a car driving through our neighborhood and had a big placard on the car and a guy with a big megaphone yelling at everybody, and if they don't repent, they're going to go to hell. Well, what he was saying really was true, but the way he was saying it, just the tone and tenor of everything was not good. And of course, we don't want to be doing that, and we don't want to be thought of that way either. So the way to avoid this, I think, is to begin with this. In 1 John, John reminds us, all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father. You know, even when we tell things about Jesus in love and simplicity and humility, there are going to be people who reject that. And so we have to overcome that fear of rejection, which deep down is really about our pride and our desire to be liked and loved by the world. And we just need to remember that's not where God wants us to go. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, "For God gave us not a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control." So we can ask God to help us with this. We can ask that God would take away our fear that we might have and our struggle with pride. That's exactly the kind of prayer God wants to hear from us, and that's exactly the kind of prayer that He is eager to fulfill as well. So in 1 John 4, John says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And if we can keep our focus on love for God, love for our neighbor, that will help keep us from being weird. It's the pride thing. Whether the pride is sort of one edge of the sword, there is in pride we do become an idiot and a mean person. Or on the other edge of the sword is because of pride we're so afraid of anybody saying anything bad about us, and because we want to be thought of and well by the world. We just have to overcome that, and we can overcome it by focusing on God and His love, and our love for one another and for our neighbor. Third problem, similar to number two, that when we speak about Jesus and about the gospel, we are going to bring up some negatives. We have to. This is the law, part of the law and the gospel. It has to be done. But there are ways to do it that are good, and I can show you that here. Sometimes the world will think of us as negative bigots no matter what. And that, like number two, we're just going to have to accept that sometimes. But one of the keys here is to remember this. Paul says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when we talk about sin, we always talk about it in terms of we are sinners and all people are sinners and we need forgiveness. The person I'm talking to needs forgiveness. And if I can always present it in that sense, that would be really good. Number four, sometimes we look at people and we kind of start sizing them up. And we again, looking at the flesh, we think, well, this person's not going to become a Christian. Look, they're really against Christ or something like that. Never underestimate. If somebody wants to talk to you about Jesus, don't be afraid to share with them, knowing that God is the one who brings people to faith. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with the Holy Spirit. And so we need to remember it's God working through us. And so if we have the opportunity to witness to an unlikely candidate for conversion, all the more power. It's in God's hands. And so we should not be afraid of that. In Ephesians 1, Paul talks about the doctrine of predestination. That's a very important doctrine in the Bible. It basically is given to us for our comfort, both personally for our salvation, but also for the salvation of other people around us. Paul says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And so salvation, again, is in God's hands. Think of all the unlikely candidates in the New Testament that became disciples and Christians, tax collectors, prostitutes, and so on. Centurions, thief on the cross. We could go on and on with that list. It's very, very interesting. So God chooses. It's not for us to think about things in that way. In Acts chapter 18, when Paul came to the decadent city of Corinth, very sexually immoral city and full of idols and all kinds of bad religions and things like that, Paul was assured by God, I have many in this city who are my people. And so we know God is calling. Our duty is to deliver the message. God will take care of the converting. Here's one that I run into a lot, and that is, this is not good timing. Maybe I'm really tired, or maybe I've got a lot of other commitments that I have to deal with, and someone wants to talk to me about Jesus. Wow, that's hard. So one thing we need to do here is just to weigh the importance and of the opportunities that are before us. Maybe in some cases we need to forego something on our schedule. And pastors sometimes call this the ministry of interruptions. We try to work ahead, plan ahead, so that we do have opportunity for people to just walk in clear out of the blue, because a lot of times that is the way these things happen. But here's some helpful things for this problem. It's good for us to remember we're not the only ones involved in someone's salvation. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And so, again, we can witness a little bit for what we may have time for, and know that God will use other people as well. One of the things I personally do is to carry with me some little personal business cards with my cell phone number and my email. And if I meet somebody like that and I run out of time with them, I'll just hand them that card and just say, hey, if you have more questions about this, or if you would like to talk more about it, send me a text, give me a call, send me an email, and I'd be glad to take more time to help you. Number six, sometimes people think this way, that witnessing is better left to professional church workers. And it is important that those who are called into the holy ministry, pastors and their assistants, teachers, missionaries, deaconesses, deacons, and so on, we do have a big obligation to be faithful witnesses. But that doesn't mean that you aren't a witness. Remember that Dr. Walther referred to us as being priests, and that goes back to St. Peter himself, who talked about the priesthood of all believers, a royal priesthood that all Christians are a part of. And so, for example, in the third chapter of his first letter, he says that we should all, not just pastors or teachers or missionaries, we should all be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks about the hope that is within us. And so it's good to think about our own personal testimony. In our church, for our one phase of our confirmation program for youth, is I asked them to write a testimony, to write out a little explanation of how God has worked in their lives. It's the beginning of a process that I hope we will all continue for the rest of our lives. Here's a little way. This is my story. This is my Christian story. And I'm glad to be able to share it whenever I can. In 1 Thessalonians 8, and we have many other passages like this in the New Testament, Paul commends the Thessalonians. He says, your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So they received it, but it didn't just sit still with them. they also talked about it with other people. And when that happens, that's good witnessing. Or in Acts chapter 18, we run into this interesting disciple by the name of Apollos. We already heard reference to him by Paul. At this point, we don't know that he's a pastor or has any official office or anything like that, but he preached and he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. So as God has given us opportunity to learn and share with other people, then we shouldn't let that hold us back because we maybe aren't called full-time to this type of ministry. Here's a problem that we do run into sometimes because of a misunderstanding. This is a quote that is often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words." Actually, there's no record, no historical record that he ever said or wrote anything like that. Francis did stress the importance of good works, but never over and against the preaching of the gospel. And it is important to remember the role of good works. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we should let our lights shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And we see how works are important because they are difficult to argue against. So, and they show the integrity that of our faith, and that's very, very important. However, we should not think of them as sufficient for converting the lost. As we saw last week in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So that's important. Last one. Sometimes we're just uncomfortable about sharing our faith with other people. And when you feel that way, I would just encourage you to focus on your faith, how God has witnessed to you. Evangelism Bible studies like this are good. They're vital. But don't think of this class as the key to becoming a good witness. It's helpful, it's important, but the key to becoming a good witness is just thinking back on the witness that you received, thinking about your faith and focusing on that and asking God to help you be a better Christian and helping you to live out your faith. And that, as Luther says in the Small Catechisms, that prayer, that all my doings in life may please thee. That's a beautiful prayer, good prayer for us. And as we focus on those beliefs and focus on God helping us to turn those into good actions, then that's how we become a better witness. So, for example, Paul's advice in his letter to Titus, "Likewise urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity." So we ask God to help us live by our faith. And yes, we study this important work of evangelism, and that's a good thing for us to do, as well as all the other important things that we're studying God's Word. Let me end with a few more encouraging words from Dr. C.F.W. Walther in the same sermon on what it means to bring souls to Christ, every Christian's desire and duty. He says, "Luther has rightly said, when a Christian begins to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, through whom he has been rescued from death, his heart becomes thoroughly godly, so that he is willing to help anyone. He prays and tells others that they also must come to this grace. Through holy baptism, each Christian has obtained, under pain of losing the divine grace, of rousing himself to care and to help so that others may be brought to Christ. It is certainly true that not everyone is a pastor. God is a God of order. For order's sake, the congregation calls only one or a few to publicly administer, in the name of all, the rites of the spiritual priesthood. The Christian church is a great mission house. Each Christian in it is a missionary sent out by God into his own circle to convert others to Christ. Dear friends, if we come upon a person lying helpless, in physical need, beaten down and wounded, we consider it our duty to stop and help him. We do not wait first for the certified physician to come. We bind up the man's wounds, take him to the place where he can be cared for. In the same way, if a Christian finds that someone is wounded in his soul, the Christian must not think, 'What is this to me? The preacher is the spiritual physician. Let him come and help him.' No, Christian, here the call of love is being extended to you. There is no doubt, since God commands that everyone love everyone, by the call of the Christian love, He therefore makes each Christian a Seelsorger. That's German for a caretaker of the souls of others. So I'd like to end with that. Dear Lord, bless us. Help us to be witnesses as you have witnessed to us. Help us remember what you have taught us, and help us not only hold fast to that, but to share it as we are given the opportunities to do that. And we know that you will work through those words to bring others to faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.